It's time to start.
Rock concert movement number one. The basic head bob. Ready, go.
All right, 305 Bradshaw with you on 98.3 Wild FM. Coming up in about 20 minutes. Ben Jung from Ingersoll Wine and Spirits. We're talking booze, because to be honest, after today I need some. By the way, real quick, raise your hands if you disagree, all right, with the statement that Fox News is opinionated news. Do you believe that Fox News is opinionated news? Okay. Raise your hands if you disagree. Okay. You know who disagrees with you, by the way? News Corp, the owners of Fox News. They actually, they're running into a bit of a snafu with the British government. And it's, you know, on page 216, a report they delivered to the UK government. It says right here, UK TV audiences have shown little interest in more opinionated news. Fox News achieves an average audience of 740 people, for instance. So, even News Corp admits Fox News is opinionated news. Now you know, and knowing is half the battle. Oh, good. Terry Branstad wants to raise the gas tax. Excellent. All right, just because I find this story funny. Claude Baudler, cranky old guy, I think is the universal description, sent out a letter in October. Talking about going to California and fraudulently trying to obtain medical marijuana as part of the whole, you know, all drugs are bad and awful and evil speech we've heard so many times. So he actually announced to the Iowa Board of Pharmacy that he was going to go, lie about having a medical condition, and come back with the demon weed. Then in a letter to supporters said, I'm going to go and tell them I have hemorrhoids, so they'll blow smoke up my butt, or something along those lines. But, and again, follow along here. State lawmaker says, I am going to commit a crime. Not a major crime. It's a $1,000 fine, 6 months in jail for a first offense in California. To prove a point. Now there's calls for his impeachment. Now, I don't know if going and picking up some weed. I mean, Lord knows he may be the only honest Republican when it comes to I'm going out and picking up weed. But to be dumb enough to do it this way, that should be the impeachable offense. What do you think? 312-093. Outside the metro, it's 866-908-TALK. Why would you be that dumb? Mike, welcome to 98.3 YFM.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was at the Capitol today in the subcommittee room, and I actually brought up the issue of his email and so that he should be impeached. There should be an investigation, and I'm actually planning on filing ethic charges against him tomorrow.
It seems like a pretty clear-cut case to me.
It does. You know, I mean, he was trying to say he admitted to it at first off, then he realized there was actually penalties behind it, and he's saying that, well, maybe the person wasn't a doctor. The person was probably a doctor, but that doesn't actually matter. If you look at the code, it's anybody in the process. If you give false information to anybody in the process of trying to obtain a medical marijuana card in the state of California, well, then you're subject to that penalty, so...
Okay, I just don't understand why someone would be dumb enough to one, use it as a fundraiser or support some sort of promotion, and two, to tell, again, the general public and the pharmacy board, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem we had, is that not necessarily that he just went to California to commit the crime, but he sat at the State House and premeditated this crime. I mean, he conspired to commit this crime while he was working in the State House as a representative for the state of Iowa. And obviously, you can't have lawmakers sit in the State House using their time to plan to commit crimes.
Well, now, depends on which crimes. Okay. Well, I guess adultery isn't a crime, so I guess our lawmakers are safe there.
Yeah.
You know, the fun part is, again, with me, it's not like the guy on the AM dial. It's not the fact that he was hooked on OxyContin pills he was buying illegally from his maid. It was he had spent so much time prior to that talking about how, you know, drug abusers need to go to jail and how people who get hooked on drugs are losers and junkies and, you know, need to be done away with. Yeah, till it happened to him. I'd be interested to see Clallon. I'm sure he's got any number of newsletters and speeches like that. Talk about, perhaps, you know, needing to crack down on even first-time offenders and needing to hold ethics, you know, violations in, you know, they need to be strong when it comes to going after lawmakers who break the law. Those are the money quotes. Those are the money shots.
Isn't it? I mean, if he was a man of honor, if he really truly believed in the law, then he would get on the next plane to California and turn himself in to face prosecution, wouldn't he?
No, because he's a Republican, and it's okay if you're a Republican.
Exactly.
Again, I just don't know why someone would be dumb enough to do this. That's the part that boggles my mind.
It is.
I just say, by the way, as a citizen of the state of Iowa, I'm glad as hell, by the way, he doesn't have a similar method to test out Iowa's gun laws.
Well, he actually came up with some interesting bills as far as the gun laws are concerned, where he introduced four different bills, and I don't think they're going to really pass. But one of them, for example, was pretty much there's no process at all to carry a gun. Anybody can just carry a gun if they want. That's one of the bills he's introducing this year. So
The House Bill 7 is the one that interests me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the shoot first, ask questions later. Which whenever I talk to concealed carry folks, it's always, oh, you know, I don't want to have to use it. I just want it there to defend my family. And, you know, basically the gist of House Bill 7 is, well, if you see anything going on, shoot to kill.
Yeah. I mean, really? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. But this is an attempt, like in Florida. You do not have to, you know, the imperative is not on you to flee. It's you can do whatever you want. Here in Iowa, you have to show to some degree that you aren't able to escape the situation. And to me, that's where it should be.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, if you can defuse a situation by leaving the situation, then you want to defuse it.
Yeah, I don't want someone escalating.
And that's exactly what his bill calls for.
And that's, yeah, well, that's what it allows. And this is, you know, why don't we just call it what it is, the Tackleberry rule.
The vigilante law.
All situations are better with more guns.
Yeah.
Again, the impetus should be, if you can get out, get out. If you are being threatened, if you are subject to harm, that's a different story. It's the same, you know, the guys I talk to who believe that if someone's rooting through their tool shed at night, they should be able to shoot first and ask questions later. No, that makes you kind of a vigilante murderer. Now, if they're coming into your home, that's a different story.
It is a different story.
Hey, I'll be the one to say, and you know, I don't own any tie-dye, but I just lean that way. If someone's coming in your window, all right, you know, don't hide your kids, don't hide your wife. You're allowed to shoot if someone's coming into your home. If someone's stealing your car,
that is a threat to you. If someone's coming into your home, that's a threat to you. It really
yeah.
is. If they're in your backyard, in your shed, that's not a threat to you. I mean, that shouldn't be something punishable by death.
Yeah. Stealing someone's snowblower is not a capital offense. Yet.
It is the ball blower, though.
All right. And then that's the issue there. But, Mike, I appreciate the call. We'll talk about this House Bill 7 tomorrow. Because I have some real questions for the gun people out there. Because over and over, I'm agnostic when it comes to guns. And gun people over and over talk, you know, tout their responsibility, you know. They don't want to have to use it, but it's there if they need it. They talk about, you know, the bad guys. You know, at what point have we gone a little too far? From the text, Cloud Baudler was a state trooper from Greenfield. I grew up there with him trooping while I was in high school. That was fun, let me tell you. Alicia, tell me. I would love to hear some Kalel Baudler stories. It'll be fun tomorrow. RadioBradshaw@gmail.com. That's the email address. Or you can follow me on Twitter at Radio Bradshaw. God. From the text at 68683. Fox News equals hottest female newsreaders on TV. Love me some Jenna Lee, redheads. Signed, Chris. They actually did a study on this. The more attractive someone finds a news anchor, the more they watch or listen. Now, that wasn't where the study ended, however. And I think this goes a long way in explaining, again, the popularity and the effect of overall national knowledge on Fox News. You watch more, you listen more, you retain less information. The hotter you find a news anchor, the more you watch, and the less info you retain. Which I think pretty much sums up Fox to a T. All right, RadioBradshaw@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at Radio Bradshaw. When we come back, Ben Jung from Ingersoll Wine and Spirits. It's been a long day. Let's talk booze next.
Bob and Tom Mornings.
What a weird combination.
Is Bradshaw.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
On 98.3 Wow FM.
All right, 3:20. It's Bradshaw, 98.3 Wow FM. Glad to have you around here on a Wednesday afternoon. It's not even like flurries. Is it still like spitting whatever it is out there?
I think it's trying, but it hasn't quite made up its mind.
Oh, get off the pot already. We're sick of the snow. Ben Jung from Ingersoll Wine and Spirits is my guest. Are you enjoying inventory season?
Inventory season has been completed, so we're much happier now that our eyes and fingers have less to do counting-wise. We're done.
I dig it. What's the most expensive bottle of anything in your store? I'm thinking, if David Lee, are you familiar with David Lee Roth and his California Girls video?
Is that,
yes. And a bottle of anything to go. What bottle would you give him?
A bottle of Johnny Walker Blue comes to mind because it has a panache and people seem to remember it from either a movie or mentioned somewhere, and it's high-end scotch. It's a blended scotch. But, you know, as far as what's high-end and special, it could be cognac. It could be champagne. It could be port wine. There's many, many options to go.
And then wine is specifically what we're talking about today. But any sort of liquor, beer, and wine questions, we can hook you up at 312-0983 or outside the Metro, 866-908-TALK. And before we came on the air, I was like, you know, I'm a relatively cultured guy, I think. You know, I've watched a little bit of the Fine Living Network, mostly for episodes of Iron Chef. But I don't know squat when it comes to, like, wine pairing. Like you see, like a recipe, Maine clams a few weeks ago. And it's like dry white wine. And I'm walking down the aisle. I'm like, all of these look really wet to me. I don't know what they're talking about. All these are liquid. What is dry? What's the ground rules? What is the macaroni pictures and color within the lines? I mean, where do you even start? What's the preschool for wine pairings?
Well, I would say if you're doing any type of food prep or cooking, is to use something that in your dish to cook with that you'd be willing to drink by itself as a general rule. So don't, when you're perusing the aisle, and it could be at the local grocery store, don't go bottom shelf necessarily just because in your mind it's quote-unquote cooking wine. And I don't consider myself a big chef or someone who spends a lot of time at home doing much cooking. But if it's a chicken marsala, I wouldn't necessarily say I'm just going to get a marsala. I would try to get something that's going to both go well with the dish, but something yet if you were just having some sherry or some white wine that you would enjoy just having it by itself.
But is the ground rule, if you're eating something white, eat white wine. If
yeah.
it's if it's something red, red wine.
Red
what,
wine
if it,
yeah.
what if it's something like green?
Yeah, well, see, I think as we're kind of learning more about both the food and the wine side, you know, that's an easy kind of beginning way to keep track of organizing white with white, red with red meat. So if it's beef, then red comes to mind. But, you know, you can do red wine with halibut or salmon, and the general rule there would be to go with a lighter red wine, like maybe like a Pinot Noir.
And when it comes to price, and it's really dangerous to say, cook with something you'd be willing to drink. Because that,
okay.
You can't cook with Orange Jubilee. What are you talking about? But you walk down any wine aisle,
yeah.
And, you know, it's $5, it's $8, it's $50, it's $75, it's $15. I guarantee you that there's some, you know, $20 wines that are better than the $75. It's not one of those things where you don't necessarily get what you pay for. And it's just, it's intimidating to get that that start. Where I mean, again, what's the resource? I mean, you get people come. Ben, you got to help me out here. I don't know what I'm doing. What do you recommend?
You know, let's just assume that not everyone out there listening now is into wine, but it's easy to start because no matter if it's cold like it is in Iowa in January, you can still venture out and visit a tasting room, whether you're in Des Moines or other parts of central Iowa or even outside of central Iowa. There's tastings going on, and we do our fair amount at our store locations in Des Moines area. But the nice thing about the Iowa wines, and we talked a little bit about it, is that they kind of ease you in. You know, depending on who your friends are, if they consider themselves connoisseurs, they might say, oh, well, the Iowa wines are not quite there yet. But, you know, if I were to generalize, some of them do tend to be on the sweeter side, which is great for folks who are used to drinking the pink wine, like a white Zin, or maybe better, like a Riesling wine, to segue and try some of those names that are not maybe as familiar names, like Chardonnays and Cabernets, if you're talking about red wine. But, you know, Iowa-based wines that are, I think, a good kind of gateway or way to at least try and have some fun. And they have dessert wines. They've got red wines and wines, Bradshaw, like you mentioned, that go better with beef or might be better with chicken. And then you can also, you know, branch out and say, well, I'm ready for drier wines, and I want to find a good Cabernet, Ben, and come
All right.
see me.
Let's do it. You ever been to Vegas? You seen the guys at the blackjack table? I'm going to do a cheat sheet real quick. Or, you know, if you listen to sports, we need, you know, your pick. Who's going to win? Like $10 and $20 and over. Like 10 bucks, something that you can cook with and maybe have a glass with dinner. What's the best white and what's the best red out there?
You know, look for Zinfandel, because you can find good Zinfandels and in that $10 range.
Come on, you have to have a favorite. I'm asking you to play favorites here.
You know, in my store we have Campus Oaks, and that's one that's not in your local grocery store necessarily, because the people who distribute that are a smaller distributor. But the style, you know, for $10, and there's two tiers of it, but I think the more common one, again, Campus Oaks, and it says Lodi, which is the part of California it comes from. It's got that real kind of red fruitiness up front, so it's pretty appealing. It doesn't dry your mouth out when you take a sip, and it doesn't, you know, break the wallet at $10 a bottle.
All right, now if you're looking for something, maybe, you know, going over to a dinner party or looking to impress that special lady friend, and you're looking like $25 and up, what would you recommend? What bottle do you put in someone's hand and say, this is what you need?
You know, for Zinfandel, since we're on the topic, Segazio is a very good quality one. They're based out of Sonoma County. And the nice thing with Segazio, you know, you can kind of maybe pick up the Italian family heritage there. They've got several layers or levels, I should say. So starting $22-$23 a bottle for the Sonoma County level. And then they've got all sorts of different names based on where the Zinfandel comes from, what part of the state it comes from.
And we'll do reds here in a little bit. If you got a question for Ben Jung from Ingersoll Wine and Spirits, our booze expert.
Yay.
There are worse things to be. You could be like Mel Kiper draft expert. And you don't want that. 312-0983 outside the metro. It's 866-908-TALK. Grab those headphones that are sitting right there. And let's talk to Kelly, calling in from Des Moines today. Kelly, welcome to 98.3 WOW FM. You're on with my guest, Ben Jung from Ingersoll Wine and Spirits.
Yeah, hi, Bradshaw. Hey, my question is, I was out to Fleming Steakhouse a year or so ago, and I won a double magnum of red wine. It's however the French say Des Moines. And my question is, well, one, it's a very attractive bottle sitting on your shelf, and I've been told it's worth like $750. But my question is, how long can you keep that before it goes bad?
If it's worth $750, I'd hold it for about 5 minutes till I could sell it.
Yeah, but it's illegal to sell wine without a liquor license.
I didn't hear anything about that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so double magnum?
Yeah, which somebody listening, double magnum, I don't know if that...
it's like the double rainbow of wines.
Bigger, yes, bigger bottle. So 3.0 liters, because a magnum is 1.5, and so we're talking about the metric system a little bit. But that's a pretty good-sized bottle of wine, and... I'm assuming it came from a nice steakhouse or a local restaurant here. And how long does it keep? Well, let's assume they've had it they probably had it for a year, but who knows, who cares. What's the vintage of the wine? If it's 2006, I would say that's probably pretty current for that wine. And but it's not, from what I captured or heard on the name, it's not a level of Bordeaux wine that is necessarily meant to, you know, quote unquote, age for 20 years. It's probably one that you would want to get to in 4 or 5. So
okay, but as far as storing it, you know, I was told to keep it on its side, and then I kind of do a little quarter turn on it every now and then. Is that the standard, or...?
Isn't it a lot to do with the conditions you're storing it in? It's got to be relatively cool. Do you want humid? Do you want dry?
You prefer humid over dry, just because you got the cork is doing all the work for you, and it's going to keep the oxygen out. Therefore, you want to keep it on the side so you keep the cork moist.
Okay, I didn't realize about the cork. I understood the moist. I didn't realize that rolled back towards the cork. So, huh. Okay, well, I appreciate the information.
Right, so
thanks.
Probably got a couple more years. Now, what about these bottles of champagne from a shipwreck in 1798? Does everything get better in a bottle as it gets older?
You know,
or some like best if used by?
I would err on best if used by if it survives, and if it gets open and drunk, and, you know, you mentioned the ship example, but, you know, you hear these stories, but, and I'm saying but because there's a lot of ifs, and it's got to be good to start with if it's going to keep. That's kind of the general rule of thumb. If it's swill from the beginning, it's not going to get any...
Your arbor mist isn't getting any better as time goes on.
Well, yeah, well, that's we don't carry that brand.
It didn't start good, and it's not getting better, so...
So if it turns out good, then you got a gem there, and yeah, that's when you're going to be talking about, you know, what is it worth, and it's probably going to be worth a lot. Obviously, it's once in a lifetime, and when it's gone, it's gone, and so that's kind of the...
Do you run into a lot of wine collectors? Because I can understand baseball cards and stamps to a degree, but do you, I mean, you get a lot of, okay, I'm looking for 1956 Mickey Mantle Merlot.
You know, that's interesting that you bring that up, because I don't see that a lot. Most of the wines that are purchased locally, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's at an Ingersoll wine, it's purchased with the idea that it's going to be used up either that night or that weekend, 90%. We do have quite a few wine lovers who come in and pick up the case because they know they're getting a good deal and they want to have it available, and they don't have to get up off the couch to get that Zinfandel because it's already downstairs. Now, that's if you're going through wine. That's if you're drinking wine and your friends enjoy it and you like to share it. That works out really well. I was on the phone with places in New York and California, and it's a little bit of a different mindset where there's more of that kind of, you know, we're going to put this case of French wine down because we want to wait and open it on that celebration or a special event. And we do see some of that, but perhaps, you know, we're in a little bit smaller pond, and so I don't see that as much. I think as more and more people are thinking about it, we'll get to that level, and certainly the popularity, I think, is only increasing. But I think here in the Midwest, our familiarity with wines like the one that he just mentioned in the phone conversation is more the exception. I think we're more familiar here, at least locally, with names like Zinfandel and Cabernet and Chardonnay. We're not as familiar or comfortable talking about Burgundy or, you know, places in Italy or Spain. And that's okay because, you know, we call our wines by the grape and they call their wines by where the wine is made.
Well, Zach Mannheimer from the Des Moines Social Club, I have him on. In fact, he's going to be here tomorrow. And he's like, there are more than four grapes out there, people. So that's one of the things that he's passionate about is, you know, here are different grapes that you're not going to find in the liquor section at a Hy-Vee. But this is where, like, an Ingersoll Wine and Spirits comes in. And you go to Dahl's, right? And again, you go and you're like, okay, what am I going to pick out? Now, you can ask the Dahl's employee, but odds are that they're a 17-year-old who, you know, has, maybe some acne issues and can tell you where in the store the booze is, but they don't know anything about it. They can point you, it's in aisle 8. Yeah. And that's where if someone goes, you know, hey, Ben, you know, what do I do here? Or what? Give me some recommendations for a dinner party. And that's the difference. It's the level of service.
And to make your event successful, it's not just about, do I have my bases covered with, okay, is the beer in the fridge or is the wine downstairs? You want to think about who your guests are and who your audience is, and that's where you're going to want to say, well, am I going to go Zinfandel this night because we're doing burgers and pizza, or are we going to do pasta and go a different route, and maybe we'll want to introduce like an Italian wine or a Chianti. So, you're going through all the effort to put the event together. Why not do it right? That's kind of my thought, my philosophy.
All right, 312-093-866-908-TALK. Alcohol-related questions, we're here to help with Ben Jung from Ingersoll Wine and Spirits. Katie, welcome to 98.3 WAFM.
Hi there.
Howdy.
I did have a question. I'm kind of wondering, not necessarily how to keep wine, you know, before it's open, but once it is opened, how long will it last once you do open it and either put it in the fridge or set it on the counter? Is there a way that you should be storing it once the bottle's already opened?
Well, best way would be is if you can keep the air out of it, and there's a device called a vacuum bin. It's like a pump stop device that does that.
Okay.
Is that like the vacuum sealers that you put your chicken and your cheese in?
No, I think it's something different than that.
Well, but is it similar? Is it just, you know, plug in, takes the oxygen out, and...
Yeah, maybe. Although I haven't seen an electronic, you know, battery operated, maybe. But going back to what she was asking, you know, it really boils down to red wine or white wine as well.
Okay.
So, you know, the very simplest way is just to put the cork back in it, and if it's a white wine, put it back in the fridge. That usually works. But here's the thing with wine, just in general, is once you introduce the oxygen, then the wine starts changing immediately.
Immediately.
The clock starts running. But how long of a clock is that?
Well, and here's the thing: depending on the type of wine, and maybe there's some people out there who are Cabernet people and who are into the wine, quote unquote, whatever that means, and they might want their wines, Bradshaw, to breathe. So, you know, that means oxygen isn't necessarily the bad thing. I'm just saying that's once you introduce oxygen to a wine.
There's a difference between breathing and having enough time to evolve and walk away on its own.
So, yeah, so, you know, drink it while you want to get to the wine while it's at its peak.
Okay.
And not pass.
And again, that's one of the things where it's like, you know, when you sell someone a bottle, say, okay, I'm going to open this and it's going to go in my fridge. And be like, okay, well, that's going to last about 3 weeks. After about four, it's going to taste like something you find on the side of the road.
Right.
And once it's open, you know, you probably want to keep in mind that it's not going to go past, you know, a couple days, just
okay.
In general.
But Katie, I appreciate your can-do spirit and not just giving in and buying the individual, and this may be the worst thing maybe to happen to American society since Taco Bell, the individual serving of boxed wine.
Yes.
There's got to be some sort of crime. Like something that, you know, they introduced at Nuremberg.
And it gives you quite the headache.
sulfites. Katie, I appreciate the call. All right, 312-093, outside the metro, it's 866-908-TALK. From the texts, Jordan wants to know, what's the best wine from Tassel Ridge, and do you sell it?
Oh, man. They just came out with one. It's a white wine. The name is escaping me. So we do not carry it right now. It's, I don't know how much of it they made, but the one I like is their dessert wines that they have. One is chocolate-based, and, well, it's infused, I believe, made with Iowa grapes, and then they have a California version. But those two are, and they're distinct. You can tell them apart from the other wines because they're taller and they're more sleek or slender, probably more of a half size rather than a standard 750 milliliter bottle. But they go great for, you know, Valentine's is coming up. It goes great with chocolate. They do some other ones. They do a Edelweiss that's pretty decent as well. And then, of course, their bread and butter is, what is that, the red, white, and blue.
Now, again, this is, when I have Ron the car guy on, someone is always going to call and ask about nitrogen in their tires or synthetic oil. So I'm just going to get this out of the way. Does Ben have an opinion on Templeton Rye? Is it a fad, and how long is their list?
Since the last show we did, I had a chance to try the new batch. You know, initially I thought, man, this stuff is not what I remember it to be, because it didn't quite have the oomph. I mean, not in terms of the power and, you know, the booziness that I wanted my socks to get knocked off. It wasn't about that. It was more about, you know, how smooth is it going to be and the flavor. But I'll tell you, after we kind of got into a little bit, a couple more sips, it did come out to be a little bit smoother and tasted a lot better than the first sip. So batch 4 is pretty good. I think the concern is with all the demand and there's still a shortage as far as being able to just put it out on the shelf. Is, you know, did they age it as long as they should have to get the right flavor?
That's what we talked about last time. We're not going to get hung up on Templeton Rye. Lord knows I talk about it too much. But for the same price, you can find something just as good, if not better. Oh, and by the way, you don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops to get it. If it's just about drinking, there are plenty of others out there. If it's about, you know, giving the right gift or showing up at a party with the bottle of Templeton Rye, you know, good luck. You and Andre Agassi can talk about images, everything. But I don't like the gimmick. I don't like the marketing fad of short supplying it. Where's Templeton Rye? I had enough of that with Waldo. And that's just me. All right, 312-093-866-908-TALK. Cade, you're on with my guest. Is it Cade or Katie?
Katie.
Okay. You're on with my guest, Ben Jung from Ingersoll Wine and Spirits.
Yep, I have a question about champagne.
Go ahead.
What is the difference between brut and extra dry?
I know this one.
Well, what
brut is actually drier than extra dry.
It is. Brut is drier. It's probably about as dry as you can get. And
oh, okay. I didn't realize that. And also, God forbid, if you are not able to drink the whole bottle, what's the best way? Just put it back in your fridge and it's hard to cork it. Just leave it, let it go. And I know it's bad. The bubbles are rising and so forth, but is it just best to put it back in the fridge?
Well, if it's worth saving, and I'm not trying to make a statement about phrasing it that way, you want to use a champagne stopper if it's a good bottle of champagne. If it's a cheap bottle of champagne, you know, the cork comes out. There's no putting a champagne cork back in. It's a
right,
it's a one-way street. So champagne stopper is the best one, and you can pick them up for like $5, $6,
okay.
And they usually do the trick.
If that cost more than your bottle of champagne, it's not worth
saving. Don't invest.
Just
right.
Pour it out for your dead homies.
Or just muck it up with orange juice and have a mimosa.
I guess that's a solution.
Not
right, Katie?
Idea.
I appreciate the call. Ben, what's the website again if people...
www.IngersollWine2L1word.com.
And then the email address if people have individual questions. Not about Templeton Rye. Give it up, people.
B-E-N, that's my first name, at Ingersoll Wine, 2 L's, 1 word, no S on the end, by the way, .com.
All right, so Ben at IngersollWine.com if you have any booze questions. Not just about wine, by the way, craft beers. Alcohols.
Yeah, beer is huge. And
alcohol and the like. And if people need that list of bourbons and ryes better than Templeton Rye for less price and less hassle, you'll hook them up?
Absolutely. We'll find something that will work for them.
All right, Ben Jung from Ingersoll Wine and Spirits. Thanks for stopping by today. Like I said, if you got any more questions, email him, Ben at IngersollWine.com. Coming up, the Huckabee Report. I apologize in advance. And a look at your forecast right now, NASCAR Today.
Bob and Tom, mornings.
We're two grown men with important jobs who are standing in their underwear.
Now is Bradshaw.
Excuse me, spoiler alert.
Afternoons on 98.3 Wow FM.
Doesn't bother me. 3:52. It's Bradshaw, 98.3 Wow FM. Happy to have you along here as we wind things down on a Wednesday. Like I said, Ben Jung is your go-to guy for booze. If you've got any questions, drop him an email, because I can't. Other than like, try not to drink Thunderbird if you don't have to. It's Ben at IngersollWine.com. All right, coming up tomorrow. I want to talk about the Taco Bell lawsuit, and is it connected, by the way, to the health problems at the University of Iowa? Probably not, but we can make that link anyway if we have a big enough chalkboard. This, though, I can't let this one escape. This is where America—we are the country that put a man on the moon. We defeated fascism, all right? We can do things in this country. This is how far we have fallen. You'll find this on your grocer shelf. The latest in frozen pizza technology. And what are Americans grown on? Frozen pizza. Now the fine folks at DiGiorno, and no, it's not delivery, are offering a new combo. No, it's not stuffed crust. No, it's not garlic covered. It's not even like the breadsticks one. It's pizza and cookies in the same box. It includes both a frozen pizza and a batch of Toll House chocolate chip cookies encouraging when you put your pizza in, why don't you put some cookies for dessert as well? Like, this is where we've gotten to. And this has got to be a sign, right? The downfall of Western civilization. This is why the terrorists hate us. And we'll talk more about this tomorrow.
Child is calling for help. This message brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the U.S. Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.